Good morning, take two. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. This morning, we are going to talk about controlling our emotions. Proverbs 16, verse 32. We're going to look at multiple verses from Proverbs and other places. But I think this kind of encapsulates or contains the thought about controlling your emotions. Proverbs 16:32 says this: better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. So Solomon is telling us, it's better for you to be a patient person than a warrior. It's more important for you to have self-control than to be able to be a warrior and conquer a city. There are so many things that we experience with our emotions. Some of the best experiences in life are enjoyed because of our emotions. Some of our worst experiences in life can happen if we don't properly control our emotions. I had jury duty this week, but thankfully I didn't get selected to sit on a jury. Not that I would have not wanted to serve, just the things in my life with work now, I didn't have the time. I was telling, it's either Stephen or Christine, a few years ago in my work life, I would have loved it. It's interesting, though. The judge constantly asked all of us if we could set aside our biases and feelings to be able to render a just verdict in the case just based on the facts. So there's like 30 of us in a room, and they had some general questions to try to help the lawyers weed out the ones they didn't want to sit on their jury. And they would ask a question and it said, if any of you have this, raise your hand. If you know me as judge, raise your hand. If you know the defendant. If you know the plaintiff. But she would constantly say, is there anything that would cause you not to be able to render a true verdict based on the facts? It's interesting. I could tell some people were just trying to get out of jury duty. Some of the excuses. So they would say something that was like, I can't believe you said that in court. I mean, it wasn't anything bad, but it's like, I hate certain people in this category. I'm like, I wouldn't have said that in public. I'd have kept that to myself. But then the judge said, so you couldn't set that aside and look at the facts and render a just judgment. And some of them said, I don't know if I could or not. So when it talks about controlling our emotions, a lot of times there are the facts that are going on in a situation. And instead of, unfortunately, figuring out what the facts of the situation are, our emotions kick in. And then here we go. They take us in so many different directions. A lot of times in our lives, we allow our emotions to control us at the expense of the truth and others. So we're going to look at several passages today that emphasize the importance of controlling our emotions. Listen to this. The most important way to demonstrate to others the attitudes and actions of Christ is how we handle our emotions. I'm going to say that again. The most important way to demonstrate to others the attitudes and actions of Christ is how we handle our emotions. Emotions are so important. So number one, we were created in God's image to experience emotions. We were created in God's image to experience emotions. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God, in the middle of the garden, puts the tree of good and evil. Now, we could sit down and have a long discussion about why God put that tree there. The short answer I will give you is God wanted us to choose Him. God wanted Adam and Eve to choose Him and to choose to have a relationship with Him. You don't have to answer out loud, but when God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden, there was one thing He said, don't do. Everybody knows the answer. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Wouldn't it be nice if there was only one commandment we had to follow? If there was just one commandment we had to follow. Adam and Eve had one commandment. Just one. There was one rule. I am a rules follower. I mean, I follow the rules. Being in the right family, married into it, Chris, their dad, they make me uncomfortable. They don't do anything crazy, but, you know, it's always, well, rules are a suggestion sometimes, not a, like, no, we got to follow the rules. Adam and Eve had one rule, don't eat from this tree. And then here comes the emotion part of it. God told them, be afraid the day you eat from that tree. You see, emotions weren't created after Adam and Eve sinned. They were there before. If you remember the story of God creating Eve and bringing her to Adam, here comes God with Eve, says, hey, Adam, I made you somebody. You imagine Adam like, oh, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Thanks, God, for giving me somebody. You think that's how he acted? You go back and read it. It's like, wow! She is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. She was made for me. He had emotion. Some of the best things we'll experience in life is because of emotion. That's why it's important to control them. But God created us for emotion. Because we bear the image of God, we are emotional creatures. All throughout the Bible, it talks about God is a jealous God. That's an emotion. Of course, it's holy when God demonstrates jealousy. It talks about God being slow to anger. We all know anger is an emotion. We were created to experience emotions. In the scripture reading that Stephen read, listen to this. You don't have to turn back there, but just listen. Paul is writing. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." And listen to this. "To be made new in the attitude of your minds." Listen to verse 24. "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So before the fall, there was emotion. Be afraid. Don't eat from this tree. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. They disobeyed God. They ate from the tree and they were kicked out of the garden. And unfortunately, this old nature has plagued all of us since then. But we can't use Adam and Eve as an excuse. I like to blame Adam and Eve for everything in my life. It's kind of a running thing I say all the time, Adam and Eve. But Ephesians chapter 4, what I just read, tells us we can't blame Adam and Eve for our uncontrollable emotions. So when God created us, he created us to experience emotion. And then, according to Ephesians, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to give us a new attitude of our minds. To put on a new self. And here's the key. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And we'll talk about this a little bit in the last point. But the reason why Christ died on the cross and rose out of the grave is so that when we put our faith and trust in him, we can put on the attitude of Christ. We can be created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Isn't that neat? No excuses now. If you're a Christ follower, you have no excuses for those meltdowns. Sorry. You have no excuses. It's Monday. I'm having a bad hair day. I woke up late. No excuses. No excuses to be irritable. Sorry. So if you want to leave now and not hear any more of this sermon, I'll go ahead and let you. But if you finish the sermon to the end, you have no more excuses for meltdowns, irritability. No more excuses. You know why? Because we were created, you could even say recreated, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, what Christ did for us on the cross. So nobody's left. Okay, we're all on the hook. So we were created in God's image to express emotion. All right, let's go to point two. Relationships are built or destroyed by our emotions. Matter of fact, probably one of the key components in our relationships is our emotions. One of our key components that gives us problems in our relationships is our emotions. I'm going to say a phrase, and we'll see if you finish it right. One of the kids I went into high school said this phrase. So he was sitting in Bible class, and the teacher said, he's talking about anger and stuff like this. So the teacher said, we don't get mad, we get even. Somebody said, Jonathan said what the student said. So the teacher said, we don't get mad, we get, and right here on the first, like one of the front rows, he'd been watching too many commercials. We don't get mad, we get glad. Talking about the Glad trash bag commercial from a long time ago. You would take your trash bag out and it would break open and the guy would get really mad. So the commercial said, don't get mad, get glad. Relationships are built and destroyed by our emotion. So, and I'm sorry, Sylvia, I didn't write this down. Dr. Piccarelli, in his book, Reading in the Proverbs, he asks the question, how long is your nose? You have a long nose? How long is your nose? The Hebrews commended a long nose, viewing that this as an indicating of the control of one's temper. This expression grew out of a person snorting when one is angry. You snort when you get angry? So if you had a long nose in the Hebrew culture, it meant when something went wrong or not your way, you deep breath. As opposed to snorting out anger or to blowing out anger. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word for spirit is the same word they use for breathing. So when it talks about controlling your spirit, controlling your breathing. And, you know, people do that a lot. They do breathing techniques when they get upset. It's an anger management thing. So listen to Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. A person's wisdom yields patience. Are you a patient person? Are you impatient? It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. When was the last time somebody did something wrong to you? And you said, I could really get angry about what they did to me. But I am not going to get angry. I'm going to forgive them. Even ahead of time. Even if they don't ask. I'm going to overlook it. Now let me do say this. Sometimes when people do things that are wrong, you can't overlook it. It needs to be dealt with. Because there's lots of biblical principles about dealing with people in relationship in a biblical way. But the bottom line, what Solomon is trying to get across here is you're being patient, and this is an offense that you could get mad about, but you know what? I'm going to overlook it. So many times in Christine and I's marriage, when we have disagreements, when we get upset with each other, later on it's like, what were we even upset about? Most of the time it's trivial things. Think about the most things in your life that you get upset with your friends, your spouse, whoever, people in your family about. A lot of times it is trivial things. In those situations, Solomon says, if you can just overlook it, Now, when he says overlook it, he doesn't mean I'm going to put this in my little memory bank. And weeks down the road, months down the road, years down the road, I'm going to pull this little thing out and I'm going to say, you remember when you did that and I didn't even get mad? That's not what Solomon's talking about. He is saying, move on and have the right attitude about it. Move on. Listen to Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So he's doing a contrast here. A heart at peace. As a Christ follower, you need to make sure, first of all, you're right with God. And then, being right with God, you have the tools to be right with everybody around you. And then you can have a heart of peace. But envy rots the bones. Envy is green, green-eyed envy. I know y'all have heard that before. They don't deserve to have that. They shouldn't have got that promotion. I wish I had that. You know, that's green eye envy. What Solomon is saying is, don't allow wrong emotions to destroy your life. Don't allow wrong emotions to destroy your life. Basically, this picture of your emotions eating at you. They're just eating at you. Boy, this person did this to me, and I'm angry about it. And they're just eating at you. Listen to what Proverbs 17:22 did. I did my senior sermon on this verse at college. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Solomon says a cheerful heart is a good medicine. So if you could ever go to science and health to confirm biblical principles, go to the science and health with people first. And then when they say, oh, man, I didn't know that. You're right. That is true. The scientists all talk about how having a right disposition, being able to laugh at yourself, having a more joyful heart, literally helps your heart. It helps your stress level. It helps your blood pressure. I mean, there's tests. You can go look at it. So anytime when you're talking with somebody that you might be trying to lead to Christ, if you can take biblical principles and go out into the world, and the scientific community has confirmed it. And then you say, well, you believe that, right? Yeah, man, the science talks all about that. Well, you know, they got that from the Bible. It comes from the Bible. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. Sometimes you can have days that are rotten, awful. And if you're not careful, you let things that are happening in that day take your spirit and just crush it. See, as Christ followers, when we live life from a biblical set of views, when we live Christ out in our life, when we live in relationship with Christ, part of the difference between us and the people that don't have Christ is we don't like when bad things happen, but we understand there's a bigger picture and we can handle things better. So Solomon's not saying, hey, you know, you have a bad day, you're down, you're depressed, just think about something great and change your attitude. He's not saying that at all. But what he's saying is, when you live your life in right relationship with Christ and right relationship with people around you, that's going to provide you a cheerful heart, a heart at peace. And then those days when there is bad things that happen, when your emotions are messed up, when you are sad, then you will be able to have a perspective on it that will help you work your way through it. But if you constantly allow your emotions to dictate to you on the choices you make, if you constantly allow your emotions to control your actions, then your life is going to be a roller coaster. You see, one thing about being a Christ follower is if he's the center of our life, he anchors our soul. I talked a little bit about this with my 7th and 8th graders at camp. I think I mentioned it in Sunday school too. Let me ask you a question. What is an event that could happen in your life that would cause you to come untied from Christ as your anchor? What would it take? What event would it take for you to become untied from Christ as your anchor? You see, that's why you're building this relationship with Christ, so that when life throws things at us, we have an anchor. And sometimes our emotions could get us down and depressed. And I do want to say this, depression is a real thing. I don't talk about it lightly. But a lot of times it's how we regulate our emotions from a biblical point of view that helps us navigate what life throws at us. Proverbs 15:1 says this, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Let me read that again. This is a very important verse. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word turns up anger." All right, guys, I'm talking to the men now. Your spouse, your wife, has just said something that didn't quite sit well with you. She said it. Whether she's right or not, why haven't you taken out the trash already? We'll just use that. Why haven't you taken out the trash already? It's all piled up high. She said it. Now, what are you going to say? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. "Well, I've been busy, honey. Why don't you take it out?" Or, "I am sorry, honey. I got sidetracked. I meant to do it. Here, let me do it now." You see? It looks like Solomon kind of knows what he's talking about. God knows what he's talking about. And there's so many times in our life. Pastor Dave preached a whole sermon a couple of weeks ago about our words. How we say something. And it can change a situation that could be just something and you go on with life to something that's like really earth-shaking, volatile. Our anger can be stirred up. Proverbs 29:11 says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." We all talk about venting sometimes, right? Vent means I'm just going to let it all out. Well, Solomon says fools give full vent to their rage. I'm just going to let it all out. I'm angry. And I'm just going to yell and scream, and I'm going to let them have it. You can feel like doing that sometimes. But Solomon says the wise bring calm in the end. The wise think before they speak. The wise choose their words before they speak. He says, a fool, they just explode. Are you an explosive personality? Well, that's just the way I'm made. I'm just a straight talker. I just tell people how it is. Well, you know, if you're a Christ follower, that's not biblical. And you can build or destroy a relationship because of your outburst. All right, we have made it to the end. Number three. Point number three. Christ has empowered us to control our emotions. Christ has empowered us to control our emotions. Listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and here it comes, self-discipline. Let me read that again. 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul talks about wanting to experience the resurrection of power of Christ in his life. So if you're a Christ follower, there is no reason why you cannot control your emotions. Yes, it's hard, because your emotions are your emotions. You don't even know sometimes when your emotions are going to happen, because something will come up, spur of the moment. I didn't know that happened. That's life. Something will come up, spur of the moment. Something will happen. Some situation will sneak up on you. And all of a sudden, your emotions will take over and you will respond and act a way that is not Christ-like. But you see, we don't realize this. We think Christ died on the cross just so he could take us all to heaven with him one day. Which is, yes, that is the reason why Christ died on the cross, so that we could get our sins forgiven. He would give us his righteousness. And one of these days when you stand before God, God will say, yes, I see the righteousness of Christ. That's why you're here. I mean, yes, Christ died for that reason. But he also died on the cross to empower us to be able to live the way he expects us to live. To be holy. The Bible tells us in Peter, it's quoting from the Old Testament, God says, be holy because I'm holy. Well, God, you don't know what I'm dealing with in my life. Well, yeah, he does, actually. Well, you don't know my personality. Well, yeah, he does, actually. Christ has empowered us to control our emotions. He died on the cross so we could say no. He died on the cross so that we can keep everything in the right perspective. Listen to Proverbs 25, verse 28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. If we as Christ followers don't allow Christ and His Word to be the thing that determines our attitudes and actions and helps us control our emotions, then we're just like a city without walls. Anybody can come into our life and mess us up. Anybody can come into life and push our buttons. Anybody can come into our life at any time they want to and totally get us in a frantic panic over something, because we don't have self-control. And let me just say this. There are people that know you and they use your lack of self-control against you. They know how to push your buttons. They know how to get you mad. They know how to manipulate you and your emotions to get you to do something that you might not ordinarily do. But you see, it all has to do with allowing Christ to be the one that calls the shots with our emotions, as opposed to everything else that's going on around me, all my circumstances. And yes, that's very hard to do, because our old nature, our old self, is very much with us. But Christ said, I died on the cross. I came out of that grave so that Wednesday at 1 p.m., when something pops up that you weren't expecting, instead of going into a fit of anger and rage, you can say, you know what, Christ, this seems really bad. And you know my emotions right now, and I'm kind of upset, but please help me to respond the right way and handle this the way you would handle it. This is a very good thing to talk about on Sunday morning. Very good to read in the book of Proverbs. You know, the hard part is next week when we're in the moment. Are we going to be people that allow Christ to control our emotions, or are we going to be dictated by everything around us? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much what you did on the cross for us. Somebody might be here this morning and they've not accepted the forgiveness that you offer, that you freely offer. They need to make the choice to accept your forgiveness and to start following you. Those of us that have followed you and accepted your forgiveness, help us to allow what you did for us on the cross, how you conquered sin, help us to be able to control our emotions. Help us to make decisions the way you would make it. Help us to be a testimony this week when we're around people that might mistreat us. Help us to be a testimony by the way we respond. We just pray that you will allow your word into our hearts and let us allow that to control our thoughts and our actions. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.